That guy in the suit just turned that other guy into a fucking kebab.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, a podcast about comic books, video games, movies, television, and everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips, Brandon Stone, and Shuddy Boy.
Tell me, do you bleed? You will.
Hey everybody, welcome. It is another episode of hopefully your favorite podcast. If you're listening to us, thank you for listening to us, but hopefully we're your favorite podcast. If not, well, no hard feelings. I guess we'll never know. I'm Nate Phillips. This is Journey into Comics. Lots of shit to discuss today, folks. No fucking around. Not even going to give you the weather report today because there's no goddamn reason to do it. Let's get down to tacos. The Walking Dead 152 is quite possibly the best issue of The Walking Dead that I've read in the past year and a half. And that's saying something because there's been some doozy issues. There's been, 144 and what happens to Ezekiel and Rosita and a whole bunch of other members of Alexandria. You could talk about, 138, the first appearance of Alpha, or, to go even further back into, like, well, obviously, issue 100 is very special, but never mind. Folks, this is the reason that ADD is a real thing, because this motherfucker has it. See, that's one thing I don't think people realize. The reason we tangent so fucking much is because Brandon and I literally have just, like, ADHD to the fucking nth. And it's like, ooh, piece of candy, ooh, piece of candy, ooh, piece of candy. Plus, like, another thing I want to mention, sitting in the comic room, which also happens to be the studio where I record the podcast, it's very distracting. There's a lot to look at, you know, eventually I'll be posting some updated pictures of the comic room. It has changed dramatically, since the last time I posted any kind of update on Journey into Comics, Instagram, which, speaking of which, sorry we've not been, doing a whole lot of social mediaing. We're just, shit's crazy kind of right now, you know, there's a lot of things happening, so we're gonna try to do that better, and at least, you know, once a day post something, me and Brandon are gonna try our hardest. You never know with Shuddy Boy, he is a total, just, he's a rogue, you know, he's the Gambit of Journey into Comics, you know, I don't know what that makes me and Brandon, you guys figure that out, I don't care. Anyways, back to The Walking Dead 152. Okay, so here's the deal. Let's just kind of start with some of the things that happened. Dwight is working on training Gabriel to become more of a killer and to do the thing that Gabriel's never done, you know, in the comics or the show or anything, is that stand up and fight. Gabriel's just been the father, and he's been, you know, this, you know, I'm not going to get involved, and as much as I want to get involved, I'll never get involved, you know? So, you know, Dwight's teaching him how to do it, you know? And they get into a little situation, and Dwight's like, well, looks like now's your chance. Show me what you can do. And, of course, Gabriel, with, you know, near precision, does what he has to do. And, you know, eventually he ends up back, you know, in his quarters, and he's praying, and he's like, you know, forgive me for not only being a killer, but for being a good one. And I thought that was awesome, because it's like he realized something really kind of primal, I think, about Gabriel, is that deep down he is very much a killer, and he just never knew it. And this, being forced into this situation again, you know, it's time to stand up and fight, or you know, be ready to die, literally, and have nothing you can do about it. That's like a terrible thing. Hey, I know at any second I could die, and there's not a fucking thing I can do about it. Is there anything you can do about it? And I didn't think so. We're fucked. That's kind of how it is, you know? And it doesn't need to necessarily be that way. So Gabriel is doing his thing, and he's realized he's become, you know, a pretty badass killer. Some other things, we start the issue, let me say, really cool, because in the end of the last issue, 151, there's the radio call with Eugene. And he, you know, hears somebody's voice. Well, this issue starts off with more of that. And Eugene has a nice conversation where he's discussing and talking to this mystery voice who doesn't know him and they don't know each other, and they're trying to find a way to trust. You got to think, in the Walking Dead world, there's no trust. Really, there's... Even in the real world, there's no fucking trust. You can't trust anybody nowadays. It's just the truth, you know? So in the Walking Dead world, it's amplified, though, so much, because all these people have been through so many crazy fucking things, and it's just overwhelming for them, you know? So, you know, here's the skinny. Eugene says, look, I'm not going to give you any vital information. You're not going to give me any vital information. We're going to take this really slow. I'm not going to report to my group that I'm even talking to you until there's something important to report. Until I know that you're a threat, or until I know that you're guaranteed friendly, I'm not saying a fucking thing, you know? And the other dude's like, okay, I agree. And we don't know if the other dude's telling the truth or lying at all. Obviously, we see it from Eugene's perspective. Eugene, not really lying. Other dude, maybe he's lying. Maybe he's not lying. You can't, you don't get the full feeling in this issue, so you can't really tell if this guy is, you know, a legitimate threat, or if you, maybe this guy's a good guy. I think we're so quick to believe in The Walking Dead because of, I mean, do you think about it, Governor Negan, you know, the hunters, the survivors, the saviors, God, all the different groups, all the different factions, all the different big bads, Alpha, you know, the Whisperers. Ezekiel and the kingdom, you know, all these different places, you're more times than not led to assume that when someone is introduced in the manner of which this new guy on the radio is being introduced, he's probably not a good guy, and you just have to go, well, gonna have to wait and see. You know, so with that part of the issue, I was excited again for more conversation. The world gets larger and larger. I had to take a drink of my tasty water, refuel my mouth, so I can continue to speak to you folks clearly and concisely. So let's continue on. What's the big thing that almost everybody thought was going to happen several issues ago? It obviously didn't happen. A lot of people wanted it to happen right on the other side of the time jump. It didn't happen. You know, okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Time jump. Walking Dead 127. Walking Dead 127 was the end of the Negan saga as we knew him as the Reign of Terror that had controlled Alexandria, you know, how he did. You know, Rick outsmarting him, not killing him, but lightly slicing his throat and imprisoning him. So, what's something we've just wanted? Everybody's been like, oh my God, make it happen, please. We want to see this happen. It would be so great if this happened. Hurry up and make this happen. Well, it would be that Negan gets released. He's freed, right? So what happens in issue 152? Spoiler alert. Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's do a little build-up. Rick is, you know, doing his thing, and he's pissed some people off, and he's done some shit now. Older Rick, wiser Rick, has had to kind of harden the fuck up and decide, okay, well, the shit's on my shoulders at this point. There's no other choice I have. I literally just am going to have to fucking do what I've got to do. And there's nothing that can stop me. You know, this is the path that I've chosen as Rick Grimes. I've got to take command of these people and maybe not tell the truth and maybe kind of do a little bit of what Negan said, but really believe in it in myself, you know? So here's the beautiful, dark, twisted, you know, thing that happens is Rick killed a guy, and that guy had a family because, you know, well, of course he did. And one of those guy's kids just, you know, he's not really fond of Rick Grimes right now. And he tells Rick Grimes, I'm going to fucking kill you. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to come with a way, and I'm going to kill you, and it's on. You know, it's on to the fucking break of dawn. I'm gonna get you, Rick Grimes. I'm gonna pay you back. It's very weird because it's kind of mirroring again how the comics and the show is doing two different storylines. Totally, obviously, the stuff that happened with Sam's brother's name, who I never get, Ron. I think it was Ron. Sam's brother Ron, you know, trying to kill Rick Grimes in the TV show and shooting Carl. And then Michonne, you know, kebabbing the fuck out of Ron, you know, in the show. So here, you know, in the comics, we've got, another kid threatening Rick Grimes. And you're just thinking, man, don't fuck with this guy. Like, I know you're mad. I know you want to get vengeance on him, but don't fuck with Rick Grimes. Like, I don't think you know who you're dealing with, you know? So, in all of this, what comes to pass? Well, Rick is away with attending other business, okay? Brandon, who is the son of the guy that Rick killed, Brandon, you know, decides, fuck it, I got a perfect way to get Rick Grimes. I know exactly how to stop Rick Grimes. So he went and freed Negan. Straight up, just, well, I mean, I guess you're led to assume that he did that because he has a conversation with Negan. Negan says, you know, why the fuck would you want to help me? Do you know who the fuck you're dealing with? Do you know who the fuck Rick Grimes is? This is a stupid idea. And he's like, no. A bunch of people are, you know, they're heading back to the hilltop and people are just roaming out and we could just fucking blend like motherfuckers who've never blended before. And no one will know the wiser. You'll be free to do whatever the fuck you want to do. And, you know, Negan says, I'll consider it. And then the final panel, we see Rick Grimes coming upon the cage that had Negan once housed. And it's been, it's literally been 22 issues that Negan has been in a cell in The Walking Dead. That's almost 2 full calendar years. I actually technically think that is 2 years. Speaking of 2 years and time, interesting enough that I would bring that up. My recent freeing, if you will, for those of you who don't know, Nate hasn't really said a lot of this shit. I was let go at my job back in February. It's been a little over a month now that I've not spoken upon it, so I figure give you guys a little insight in what's happening into my world. So, Nate's been let go from his job. Nate doesn't like the corporate bullshit. Literally the only reason I was let go of my job is because I was seasonal help, and they didn't even care to tell me that. They just led me into thinking I was a member of the team, and then when business really slowed down for that company, they just said, hey, we don't need you anymore. Instead of saying, hey, we need to give you less hours, and knowing that I would fight that because I need money, obviously. Well, I don't like corporations and I don't like all that bullshit. So I'm in business for myself now. I am selling toys and figures and things and buying toys and figures and things. And yes, some of those things are pop vinyls. Yes, I've let go some of my collection. However, no, none of the Star Wars is gone. No, none of the Star Wars will be going anytime soon. And actually, this is supposed to be later in the show, but I guess we kind of just ended up here. I'm one away, folks, from having all of the single boxed pops in the line, numerically 1 through 91, with the exception of there is no number 69, 70, or 71. I feel like those are going to be this year's San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. We'll see if that's actually the case. My thought would be, yeah, that's going to be the case. So anyways, maybe it'll be like General Snoke or something. I don't know, whatever. Doesn't matter. Anyways, so I'm in this for myself now, which has given me time to be in my home and time to take care of myself. Which one thing, people, let me tell you something, corporations and not just corporations, but bosses in general, because I've worked for, you know, one singular business owner who was the only person I worked with and been, you know, in a much more mentally damning state. But people, bosses and stuff, they will mentally prey on you if they're not good people. And that's just a thing that you're going to find in this world, is just a reality in all of this, is that there are not good people out there. So why am I saying this? Well, I've had time to organize, clean, straighten up, and just change the flow of my world, you know? And in that, I realized that I haven't been taking care of me. And I'm on the mend to take care of me first. and foremost. And that's, you know, something that I promised myself a long motherfucking time ago that I would do, and I didn't. And I just kept forgetting about me. And that's an easy thing to do, you know, being a person who I, you know, I'm, this is not being fucking braggadocious, because that's not who I am as a person either. But let me just say, if there's an opportunity to help someone, I love helping people. I love being there for people. I love supporting people or trying to go the extra mile for people, because it's just, if you pay it forward in this world, at some point, the world will give back to you. I've seen it. I've seen crazy things happen in that regard, and some people call that karma, and that is real, you know? But anyways, in all of this, the point I was trying to make about having time and adjusting the house and, you know, being a chance to get reflect on who I am and what I like in this world, what I want to be and who I want to be and all these things, I realized I'd been neglecting one thing that really started all of this. I mean, what's the name of the podcast, Journey into Comics, without comics? So... And comic books, by the way, because sometimes I always wonder, like, do people, like, skip us because they think we're about comedians, and they never see that we have any comedians on, so they're like, oh, these guys are fucking low time, you know? Anyways, literally, it had been one whole year. It's been one whole year until yesterday, okay? Or until Friday. So, well, 2 days ago. 2 days ago. I shouldn't say Friday because you guys don't have a concept of the day. And if today's Friday, you guys are like, well, how the fuck is this even possible? You might not be listening to this on a Monday. And if you're listening to this on a Monday or a Friday or Wednesday or Tuesday, good, because at least you're listening. So here's the point. 1 year, I neglected bagging and boarding and putting away any of the comics in my collection. I had accumulated stuff. Various things I had, you know, I've literally cut out. I only read 3 books officially. I misquoted. I said 2. The answer is actually 3. Here are the titles I read, folks, in alphabetical order. And you could actually even say they're in alphabetical order, because they're not only in alphabetical order just by how they are, but they're also in alphabetical order by company that they are written by or published by. So it's Batman. I read Batman. I like Batman. Batman's good. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo are about to be Ixnay on the Atman Bay. Don't know why I'm speaking in big Latin. Doesn't fucking matter. That is not the title of today's show, by the way. Today's show is not titled Doesn't Fucking Matter. If you've clicked on this and you're listening, most likely you've downloaded it. Thank you. You can get that on iTunes, or, you know, Podbean does have an app now. But... hey, the episode title is called A Case for Supergirl. We're getting to that later. Maybe that's going to throw some people off, but I've got some stuff to say about that, and I just wanted to say that that's where the episode title came from, is that. Because I'm random as fuck, and I don't care. Today is an I don't care day, and I love it. It's just, this is very freeing to be on a podcast where I can say and do whatever the fuck I want, you as my listeners listening, and you're hopefully getting a laugh out of my crazy, just random bullshittedness, or maybe you're just laughing because I have a funny fucking voice. I don't know. I don't really care. So, anyways, I bagged and boarded all the comics. I put all the comics away. I organized all the comics. I've redone the whole comic room. I redid the front room. I redid the bedroom. I redid the lobby. I've redone the studio. Like, we've just been on a fucking tear. But I digress. I want to get back to The Walking Dead, as my tangent has just ended. But that also covered one of the topics I wanted to speak on later. So it's kind of a win-win. Let's talk Walking Dead TV. Just a few quick little things. We go to the hilltop, finally. That's fucking cool. We get some stuff straight out of Walking Dead 96. We're inching ever so close. I feel like this week, tonight, actually. Well, tonight, for my time, which is Sunday. But it might not be Sunday for you. But the most recent Walking Dead that comes out, I feel like Negan is going to make his first appearance in this episode coming up. I don't think they're going to wait to the finale. I think they're going to bring him in a lot sooner and really fucking shake shit up out of nowhere. Maybe that doesn't mean that we get the epic character death as Negan's first official appearance in the comics did, because obviously the comics and the show are a little bit different. They're going to want to obviously develop this big bad a little bit more on TV. Because with a comic book readers, they get left with this huge cliffhanger, and one of their favorite characters dies. They're excited to read the next issue. It's only a week away. If you bring Negan to the finale, kill off one of your major characters, Glenn or Daryl, and then cliffhanger that, some people are going to stop watching The Walking Dead. Like, legitimately, they're not going to even give it a chance. If you build the story of Negan a little bit, just give it a little bit more backstory on the television side of things, and then do the major character moment that I was speaking on, then you set this dynamic up that really, I think, is going to make for really not only interesting TV, but just really, 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 really exciting things to come in The Walking Dead. As we, again, see, now it's like, for years, anybody who's been a part of Journey into Comics that likes The Walking Dead has clamored on, when's Negan showing up, when's Negan showing up, when's Negan showing up? And guess what? That time is pretty much fucking upon us. It could be as soon as tonight, as late as the finale of this season that we're currently in, which only has a few episodes left. I think it's got like three or four episodes left, right? What do we look forward to next? What's the next thing that we look forward to? Well, for me, season 7 would be a lot of the Rick trying to figure what the fuck to do with Negan out thing. And the setup in the first half of season 7, in my opinion, is going to be the building to all-out war. And then the second half of season 7 will literally be the all-out war storyline in its glory. Lots to do, big finish there. And then hopefully we will see the time jump maybe into episode or into series 8. Series 8 being the time jump. You can do, you know, slow character building there, starting to learn about what the Whisperers are. Then, you know, move into series 9, introduce your alpha there, you know, or what have you. I mean, there's so many options. There's just so much shit they could do. I'm so excited for the future of the Walking Dead TV show. I keep saying it. I'm a really big TV guy as far as, like, I love reading the comics, but visual media is my soft spot. I adore watching stuff. So that's kind of what today is about, is all the different things that I've recently watched. It's more of that kind of a episode. We did talk some comics in the beginning there, folks, but I don't know how many people read the comics I'm reading, so it's difficult. I've just got to report the news that's, you know, put in front of me. And back to weather, you know. Anyways, so let's talk about Carl. I think Carl in The Walking Dead show is becoming a little more heroic, maybe a little bit darker, maybe a little evil. Almost. And that's something that's, again, right from the comics. He has this kind of dark, mean streak, evil streak thing going on. But I'm really hoping, and I'm sorry I make those loud, disgusting noises. I'm just talking really, really, really fast about a lot of information. So I get myself a little, you know, overwhelmed. Anyways, Carl becoming this dark heroic character, very much akin to what's in the comics. He has a journey to take, and I can't wait to see that journey flesh out, because, you know, there are so many characters that we're going to carry over from Atlanta after this season. In the show, you've got what they call right now the Atlanta Five. It's Carl, Rick, Daryl, Glenn, and Carol. Carol's the fifth. So right now you got the Atlanta Five. I would see Carol or Daryl, either or both, being dead before the season's over, and obviously possibly also Glenn. So that would really only leave two people from the Atlanta Five that I feel are quote-unquote safe for the season, and that would be Rick and Carl. You know, The Walking Dead show is phenomenal. And there's lots more TV to talk about today, but in a second, I want to bring up some Ghostbuster news. And if you guys didn't hear, this week, we got our first taste at a female Ghostbuster cast. And God, all you people were so frustrated, and, you know, oh man, It's just awful that they're women, you know? What kind of a fucking world do we live in? Let's actually get down and break this down. First of all, I want to talk about the trailer, my thoughts on it. I thought this trailer had some funny moments. I thought it looked beautiful. I love how the ghosts look with that, like, blue aura glow to them. Very, very visually exciting, and I like it quite a bit. It's dark looking, too. It looks like it has, like, a little bit of a darker edge to it, which I really enjoyed as well. And then, obviously, I'm excited to see this. If the little things that I just said there aren't enough news, I want to see this in theaters, I think. The first trailer right out of the gate, just they had funny quip moments, and I loved the because of it, it's a guilty pleasure, don't make fun of me. I do like dubstep. I loved the Ghostbusters song remixed into the kind of dubstep style. Just totally, totally excited for the Ghostbusters. I can't wait. The time is upon us. We're going to see Ghostbusters soon. And I hope you guys liked the trailer. I want to know what people thought of the trailer. Some people have said, oh, it was, that's another thing I want to talk about. But let me get to this first. You know, some people would talk about, oh, well, they weren't that funny. Oh, Melissa McCarthy. I don't like Melissa McCarthy. I have to complain about Melissa McCarthy. Everybody shut the fuck up. It's Melissa McCarthy. She's funny. She's a funny, talented chick. If you don't like her, so what? Just give the movie a chance. Why does one person in the movie make you automatically hate the movie? It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do the studio who produced it and put a lot of hard work into it any good. If this movie sucks, I'll come out and say, hey, I fucked up, people. Shouldn't have told you to go see that movie. But my opinion is this. You need to go see the Ghostbusters in theater. I think if you go see the Ghostbusters in theaters, first of all, it's going to be an experience. Second of all, if they shot that in 3D, it's going to look fucking glorious. Kate McKinnon looks awesome. You've got the stuff with Leslie Jones playing Patty. You know, just great stuff. Great, great stuff. The Ghostbusters trailer blew me away. I've seen it like 4 times. I am just licking my chops for this movie to hurry the fuck up and get out. So, good on you, Sony. But let's talk about this. Hey, Paul Feig trolled everybody. He said this movie's not a sequel. It's a reboot. It's not a sequel. It's a reboot. He lied to everybody and fucked with everybody. It's a sequel. This might as well be Ghostbusters 3. Well, really 4 if you count the video game as 3, which that's a whole other thing. But seriously, okay? Ghostbusters 3. Pretty much the real movie, okay? These girls grew up in New York where there were Ghostbusters and there were ghosts. And that's the universe that they live in, okay? And their whole lives they've been studying ghosts. And now it's like, fuck, there are ghosts. We've been studying ghosts our whole life. Do you want to fight these ghosts? You mean, do you want to be like the Ghostbusters from the old days? Yeah, like that. Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, your opportunity to be like a superhero, that's like being a superhero. The Ghostbusters were like fucking superheroes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There is no Dana, only Zool. You know what I'm saying? There is no Dana, there's only Zool, you know? But anyways, of course they say yes and they want to do that and then they go fucking fight the bad ghosts. And it's the movie, I think that's the only thing that kind of worried me a little bit was the scale. Some of these things are fucking gigantic. I mean, then they've got big, huge, gigantic, mongous things. Interested in seeing all the different cameos and stuff. You didn't obviously see any of the original Ghostbusters that are still living or any of the people that have guaranteed to make cameo appearances in this trailer, which is fine. Keep them a surprise. I don't want to have any clues as to what they're doing in that universe now that they're older. You know, I want it to be a complete and utter surprise. Yeah, if you're not seeing Ghostbusters, if you're not seeing the trailer, get your ass together, do that. You'll like it. I promise. It's fun. It's going to be a funny movie. if you liked Bridesmaids was great. I keep saying I just a lot. That's a weird thing, too. Let's talk about that for a second after I drink this water. Okay, so let's talk about Gotham just for a second. I just have a little blip of Gotham news I want to throw in there, and then I want to just kind of knock this out and just kick this episode's ass. So, Gotham might have, intentionally or unintentionally, spoiled a possible first appearance of a character that we always wondered if they were going to make an appearance in this universe. We kind of wondered if they would gender bend and change the rules a little bit to maybe make it a little more interesting, you know? But it seems that Lori Petty could very well be... She was Tank Girl, by the way, comic book people. Comic book Tank Girl was a comic book. The movie came out in 95. She played Tank Girl, if you didn't see that. Good movie. Anyways, Lori Petty looks like she very well could be the Joker. And that's interesting. I don't know. There's just... part of it looks like it could be playing on the light that's in this club. But part of it looks like she could probably be the Joker. I don't know. That's... Why would you tease that, you know? Why would you take that exact picture if there's not a... I mean, unless you're swerving us. And if you're swerving us, good job. Again, Fox and Gotham, you keep swerving me. The series picked back up. We had episode 12 on the other side of the mid-season finale just happened. We got to, you know, play in a world with Victor Freeze or Fraze as Harvey Fries, Frace. Whatever, they can't decide how it's said, and then they figure it out. But you get to see Nora Freeze, which is cool. Like they're telling a very dark story. It's kind of akin to some of the Batman adventures or the adventures of Batman and Robin, Paul Dini era'd, telling of Mr. Freeze. So Gotham's again. For today, I guess today's a case for a lot of stuff, because I'm just like saying, hey, go check this shit out. Gotham, if you're not watching it, do that. It's really good. It's gritty. The first season's on Netflix. The second season, figure out how you can get that, or just wait till it's on Netflix. But I like Gotham. Gotham's good. Gotham is a good show. Another DC show that is a fucking tongue twister, folks. Another DC show that is... just beating ass right now, and I love it. It's amazing. Legends of Tomorrow, obviously, it's a CW show. They've just really, they're telling a very complex story, and I love that in the very, very, very beginning of all this, the whole thing was, Rip Hunter saying, not all you guys are going to make it out on the other side of this. And whoever does, you're going to be fucking legends and legendary, and you're going to be talked about throughout the stars for forever, you know? For changing the world and stopping Vandal Savage. But this week, man, they really brought some real-life dark shit. Star City 2046 happened. That was the last episode. We saw Connor Hawke. We saw an old man, Oliver, missing an arm and having a mechanical arm. We got to see Grant Wilson as Deathstroke 2.0. Really, it was just, it was a great episode. But Rory, also known as Heatwave, really obsessed with, you're not taking me away from 2046. This place is my people, and I could just rule here and be awesome. It's thieves and criminals, and I could be the toughest, baddest thief and criminal and be a leader, you know, and that's what I want. Leonard Snart, a.k.a. Captain Cold, says, hey, you're not doing that, knocks him the fuck out, brings him back, and kind of just says, hey, I've forced you to not be able to make the choice. I made the choice for you. Well, that has led to Heatwave essentially deciding he's going to be a bad guy again and endanger the team, leading all of these things lead to one final conclusion where, Leonard Snart realizes, I'm probably going to have to kill this guy who I consider my friend. And he reminisces, you know, the first time he ever met Rory in juvie. And, it's personal. This guy is his brother. They've been partners in crime. It's Captain Cold and Heatwave there. I mean, they're two sides of the same coin. obviously that's not something they've played on hugely in, let's say, the comics, but in the TV show speaking, that's the universe that we're in. And Leonard realizes, I've only got one option. I've got to kill my best friend or freeze him or do something. And the episode Marooned ends on this cliffhanger of you're not really sure. He shoots Rory with the cold gun, but you don't see the result. Maybe he only freezes him for a second and says, hey, listen, you straighten the fuck up and come with us, or I'm leaving your ass here, and, you know, this is the worst of the worst. You know, you're really fucked. You know, they can't take him because they realize also, you can't take him back to 2016, because 2016, they can't defend their families right now because they're not there, obviously, you know? It's a really, the show's so timey-wimey. I love it so much. I'm really, again, if you're not watching Legends of Tomorrow or The Flash or Arrow or Supergirl or Gotham, really DC is on point with their television. Let me say that. DC on point with their TV. That's like, that should be their slogan or something. Maybe they should hire me to do that. It doesn't matter. Anyways, right now I want to kind of end the episode here and discuss Supergirl. Most of you aren't watching Supergirl, and that bothers me. Now, I'm not going to pretend that when I saw the pilot episode, when it leaked, I'm not going to pretend that I was like, oh, jolly good fun, this was a great episode, and I'm really sold on this character, Kara Zor-El, you know, Kara Danvers, you know. So, the first episode happens, and I was left with this, like, man, they're really driving it home that she's a girl. And I don't care that much that she's a girl. I just want to see her be badass and like Superman-esque, because that gets us closer to some form of like Justice League of America, Legion of Superheroes, Flight Ring, by the way, on Supergirl. We'll talk about that in a minute. All these things, you know, I want to see the Supergirl character really develop and flourish and be great. It'll be great for TV. It'll be great for Arrow and the Flash if Supergirl does well, because the same writers are doing it. And if that stuff's all simpatico, then guess what? That means everything's going to be awesome. And then that's just how things fly. I watched the pilot. I'm not sold. But Sarah is not sold. And there's something she just really can't get over. Is, man, they really overly drive home that she's a woman. And I don't like it. Like, why does that matter? It shouldn't fucking matter that much. You know, and it kind of ate at me. And I was like, okay. So when it was announced a few weeks ago, hey, everybody, just letting you know, Flash is coming to Supergirl. Okay? Be ready, because the Flash is going to be on Supergirl. So I was like, oh, well, fuck. I love The Flash. I love Barry Allen. I love that story that they're telling on the CW. This is the thing I wanted to have happen. If I don't watch Supergirl, I'm a fucking hypocrite. And that's something I'm not. So I sat my ass down. I watched all of Supergirl over the course of 2 days, shockingly enough. The second day was the day I found out I lost my job. So it just so happened I had some free time on my hands I didn't really know what to do with. So I just finished Supergirl. Excellent show. Supergirl, it has really good acting. I will say it's B-plus acting, but what can you expect? It is a CBS show. No offense, CBS, but it is, you know, it drawn for kind of that audience, people that constantly watch CBS programming. It's got, you know, good acting. The writing is super smart, though. It's very interconnected. There's deep, heavy webs. They're tying a bunch of tightly wound little strings together to make this huge arcing story of webbedness that's crossing into the Arrow and the Flash verse, and that's, you know, maybe someday it'll cross over into Legends of Tomorrow. Maybe we'll get Constantine again. There's all these different avenues and venues that can be utilized now on TV. Supergirl and the Flash making a crossover is huge for the landscape of DC television, right? Then, you know, Flash obviously gets a little teaser and has Supergirl in the tunnel. This is something they knew for some time was coming, I'm sure, you know. So what's other things that make me want to sell you on Supergirl? It's not just the great acting or the decent acting and the really great interconnected writing that, you know, you just as a fan, you salivate over. You want all these different really crazy storylines to where every character is literally just tiptoeing in the balance, and one wrong move with one wrong character could set a chain reaction of awful events off between every character, you know? So there's this big, huge spectrum of DC's rich history of characters. You know, you've got Martian Manhunter's a part of the show, and you've had Bizarro, and they've started Brainiac 8. What was her name? Solitude, I think? Oh, I don't ever remember. High Voltage, they're pulling from all different parts of, I mean, they've had Superman involved, obviously. James Olsen is involved, and I love that. You've got Lois Lane's little sister is a part of this. As a whole, Supergirl, just, there's something charming about it, I think, that really makes me excited to continue watching it. You know, I'm just like, hey, you know what? I really find something great about this show and genuine, and it got me. You know, the character depth in this show, it's so good. They play on every different, how do you decide when there are so many different right or wrong decisions to be had? How do you decide what the right answer is? You know, and they make you think that Supergirl would have all those answers figured out, and you realize she doesn't, and that makes her more human, and that makes you connected to the character more. You know, the character's this alien, but she still has morality. She still doesn't, you know, always automatically know the difference between right and wrong. I love that about this story. It's very charming in that regard. Obviously, you know, the Flash crossover coming makes you excited for the show, because again, hey, if he shows up on Supergirl, if the Flash shows up on the Supergirl, and it's great, you best be goddamn right Supergirl will end up in Central City. I don't know how, but it's going to happen. And I think I know what's going to happen, and I think I know how they're going to start tying things together with this. I think somehow the Legion of Superhero Flight Rings is going to allow for interdimensional travel, and that's how we're going to end up getting a Legion of Superheroes miniseries, probably in like 2 or 3 seasons. So that's really great, you know, because it's just building. We're closer and closer and closer to this huge, huge world of superheroes. I mean, think about it. 10 years ago, we had Smallville. At Smallville, I haven't watched it yet, so I can't really comment on, but Smallville, it was good for the time, but it didn't hold up. These shows, Flash and Arrow, they withstand the test of time. I guarantee it. There's nothing old about them. Honestly, it's crazy because of how fast-paced and big the seasons are. You kind of forget things that happen in prior seasons. So back to Supergirl and why that matters to what I was just saying is that she's a part of that world too. She's going to have huge, great arcing stories. They're going to dive deeper and deeper and deeper, and we're going to get all kinds of different awesome baddies from the DCU to show up on Supergirl. Who knows? You might have characters from The Flash who are bad guys showing up, giving Supergirl problems. You don't know what they're capable of. And if you don't give them a chance to show you what they want to do with this world and don't give Supergirl a chance, then you're selling The Flash short, as well as Arrow, as well as Legends of Tomorrow, as well as Supergirl itself, as well as Gotham, as well as any of these shows that are actually really ahead of the curve. You know, you'd think that with having, I mean, God, what did I just list? Like 5 or 6 different DC comic book TV shows. You know, Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Legends, and Gotham. Yeah, that's 5. 5 different shows. You would think that it would be so muddled and you would have no continuity. And granted, Gotham as of right now is not a part of the Flash universe. Multiverse makes it possible, though, so that's exciting. That being said, the other universes being so interconnected, and there's so many little wires, now Supergirl automatically has a better chance of having some involvement with any of the Legends of Tomorrow. Automatically. You know what I'm saying? That's huge. And DC's doing a great job at juggling all these different things. They're going, okay, well, we've got to throw this one up. We've got to throw this one up. Okay, this one's up. This one's up. Okay, go, go, go. They're like juggling like 20 million different things. Really, it's only 5 shows, but I digress. Their, you know, overall approach to DC TV and saying, hey, we know a couple guys who really could, if given the free rein, if given the free rein, could own and make really creative stuff because they really love it. They love these characters. Give them that chance. And they did. And that's why we're in this universe that we're in now, where we have all these awesome TV shows and movies and comic books and toys and video games. Like, it's now is the greatest time ever to be a nerd, because not only is it you know, the nerddom is easily accessed, it's fucking cool to be a nerd again. Like, or, well, again, I guess that is the most ass backwards thing I've ever said, but it's cool to be a nerd. It's cool to be nerdy. It's acceptable to be a nerdy person. Nerdy people are fucking smart people, you know. Hopefully, I'm probably not the smartest, but, you know, again, I digress. Anyways, folks, if you're not watching Supergirl, just do it for me, you know? If I didn't sell you now, I'm telling you, they're going places with this show. For Christ's sakes, this show moved me to literal tears. You know, The Flash and Arrow have done that pretty consistently. Just the great writing, and there are some real gut punch moments, and you're just like, oh, you know. And like, anytime Barry has any interaction with his mother, I weep like a little whiny girl. Or you know, any time that there's, you know, these big shocking, you know, good moments. The good moments always get me, when there's a sense of like, hey, that's the world I want to be a part of, where good always will triumph, or where good can triumph, you know. So, with what happened on Supergirl, okay, let me preface this. Astra, who is Supergirl's aunt, Supergirl's mother's sister, who's also Kryptonian, comes to Earth with Nan, and they have a plan, and they're gonna interact. They're gonna do this plan, and there's a battle, and you know, Astra puts somebody in danger. I'm trying to stay as vague as possible. Astra puts somebody in danger, and Kara's sister takes out Astra with a kryptonite sword, essentially. And Supergirl's not there to see this. And so when Supergirl finds her aunt dying, they're laying dying, Martian Manhunter, John Johns, Hank Henshaw, however you want to call him, says, hey, tell her that I did this, not you. Because she'll never forgive you, her sister, for killing her aunt. It's okay if she doesn't forgive me. I'm just a dude, an alien dude, you know, Hank Henshaw. So there's been this secret kept the whole time from Kara. And the whole time the secret's being kept from her, it's getting, in my opinion, it's getting tougher and tougher to kind of hold the burden and the lie, because Kara just, you know, she really doesn't react nicely to Hank, and she's cold. She's bitter. I mean, she leaves the DEO, you know, or I don't know what the fuck they're called. I think it's the DEO. I can't remember. So Alex has got this burden, and Supergirl kind of has to end up helping the DEO to stop some bad shit from going down. And there's this moment, and you're sitting there and you're just watching, and she's talking about maybe possibly getting back with the team, and it's going to be hard to trust Hank and all this stuff. And then out of nowhere, Alex just straight up goes, Kara, I've been hiding this horrible secret from you, but I killed Astra. Hank, you know, told me to do this because it was okay for you to hate him. He did everything he could to protect us, you know, and I think that's wrong, and I want to just come out and tell you the truth. It's like, man, moments like that, like, oh, God, they're just so epic. So you just get overwhelmed with this grief and this sadness to feel what this character is feeling, what they're going through, and it's just, it's heart-stopping, and it's overwhelming, you know, and that's what TV should be about, taking you into these moments that make you feel a sense of something greater than yourself. Don't just go, okay, well, I'm, yeah, okay. Okay, no, fucking do you, you know? Do what you do when you do how you do. That's all I can say. Supergirl is a show that evoked me to tears because it was like, man, it was a beautiful moment to feel that sense of forgiveness because, you know, there is forgiveness in that. And that's a thing that I don't think can be taught in this world, is that sometimes, you know, being honest about what's going on and how you're feeling or what you're doing in your world to the people that matter most to you, or if something wrong has happened, I've learned that it's never wrong to be honest. It might hurt to be honest. It might be shocking to be honest. But at the end of the day, it's the most important thing, is just being who you are and you know, be yourself. Don't let anyone take yourself from yourself, and always be truthful about that. And I think this world can overall just be a better place if everyone believes like that. So yeah, folks, this has been a somber, different, weird, quiet, up, down, happy, sad, loud, soft, every emotion you can think of episode of Journey into Comics. I don't really have a whole lot for you today. I could ramble for a couple more hours, but I don't think that's going to do us any good today, folks. I wanted to get in. I wanted to discuss the things I discussed. You know, I talked about The Walking Dead, and I talked about, you know, the Walking Dead TV show and the Ghostbusters trailer and Gotham and Legends and what they've done there. And just, man, just Legends was what a great show. You know, I talked about the Pop Vinyl game and my life and how things have changed. And also, folks, let me just say something. I used to very much believe that it was a why do today what you can put off to tomorrow procrastinator, right? And I've kind of started to train myself out of that. Just do shit. Just constantly do shit till you can't do shit no more. Do every fucking thing you can in the course of a couple days, and then just do light maintaining. I know it's hard to clean a house. I know it's hard to fucking maintain doing laundry and doing dishes and fucking vacuuming at home and fucking making sure your toilets are clean and making sure your fucking showers are chill and, you know, making sure your house looks nice and is presentable to people and, you know, making sure your house is hospitable and has room to fit the people and accommodate the people that you want to have over and visit. You know, just your abode, have pride in that. And I think that that is a basic thing that we lose when we get wrapped up in the always doing what's required in the workplace, you know. Is that, oh, see, I can't even log in and use buttons. That's how, see how sad that is? I was going to use button, like,
fatality.
Oh, I love it. But, you know, you forget when you have a boss that always rides your ass, or you've got people that are always constantly causing your life stress, you forget to take care of number one. You forget to take care of yourself. And I think in that comes making sure your house looks nice, making sure you care about your surroundings, care about them enough to know that, hey, you know, being meticulous and having ADD but also having OCD makes cleaning for me very hard. I'll start vacuuming the house, and the next thing you know, I'm in the middle of dishes, and I've only vacuumed two rooms in the house, but I vacuumed the bedroom was where I started, and then I moved to the hallway, and then I moved to the living room, and when I got in the living room, I looked, and I saw there were dishes, and I was like, shit, I better get those dishes done, so I started doing the dishes, and in the middle of the dishes, I was like, fuck, while I'm doing the dishes, I could also probably get a load of laundry in, so I start the laundry, and then I'm doing the dishes, and then I'm like, okay, well, I finished the dishes, I gotta move the laundry to the other, so the laundry to the dryer, and the laundry, put a new load in the wash, and then start all those, and then, oh, better finish my vacuum, okay, my vacuuming's done now, okay, do a little reorganization, okay, gotta dust a little bit, gotta clean some glass, you know, whatever. Take pride in your home. Take pride in yourself. Care about yourself again. That's something I'm trying to tell you people. In this world, it is very easy to forget who is the most important person, unless you've got children, unless you've got a family. But take care of number one first, and then take care of your family, and make sure everyone is loved. It's the most powerful thing I can tell you. Money waxes and wanes, man. It's going to come and go. That's a real thing. I could win a fucking lottery tomorrow and blow through half that in 10 minutes. You never know. Or I could sit on it for 20 years, never spend a penny. Money is the root of all evil, and love is not evil. So just love everyone. Be the best you can to everyone, but be the best to yourself, most importantly. You take anything away from today's podcast, folks. Not a lot of times do I do these Nate casts anymore, and I want to kind of get back into doing those and making sure Brando has Brando cast. I really want that motherfucker Shuddy, have a fucking podcast where you talk by yourself. It's not that hard. You just ramble. It's great. It's a place to just kind of speak whatever the fuck you want to speak. And you know what the beautiful thing is, folks? I'm sorry. This is just the truth. No one can stop me. I'm going to speak whatever I want to speak. So anyways, folks, in closing, I just want to say,
I've got balls of steel.
Fact. I do, in fact, have balls of steel. And, I also...
I like turtles.
I also like turtles. This is just... I'm having fun with some of the buttons. Then here's the fun thing, folks. Because it's my show, I have the opportunity to just fuck around and not care and not be super professional. I don't want to take myself so seriously that I can't just goof around. But I also want you guys to know that, it's just things are... I just want you guys to know that I come on here to ramble and have a good time because I'm trying to entertain you folks. I don't want your lives to be boring, but I don't want you guys to listen to Journey into Comics and be like, man, all they do is talk about the facts and just spout numbers and stuff and don't get personal. I want you guys to know that, man, here's the deal. This is how real I am about Journey into Comics. You got a question, you message me you message me directly. I'll talk about it on the show. I don't care what the fucking question is. I'll answer any questions you throw my way. I don't care who you are. I don't care how goofy you think the question is. Bring it to me. Bring it to me, stat. Next episode, I want to do tons of fucking questions. You can email us at journeyintocomicspodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to do that. Also, I just want to say,
I'll straight up suck that Metal Gear dick.
Thank you, Nick, for showing up for that one. Then there's this one.
Clearly you guys hate comics.
Well, I'm going to see Wu-Tang.
I mean, thanks, Shuddy. I'm glad you're going to see Wu-Tang. I wish I could use these buttons more on people. I wish I had a better setup for podcasting. I wish that Shuddy, myself, and Brando lived in the same town. That would make things super hella easy. It would be awesome also if all of our friends lived there too. Maybe we should make Journey into Comics Town. All of my friends and all the listeners and people can be there, and we can all just have podcasts together all the time and nerd out, because that's fun. Now, also.
Just take it all like a good little slut. Gah, 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 gah.
Thanks, Seek. I appreciate you. So anyways, folks, this was an episode of Journey into Comics. We're inching ever closer to 100. I'm scared and terrified and excited all at once. I feel that when that happens, we'll have some sort of crazy thing to do or event, but we have no official news yet. I'm really trying to get some official news on this because there's something we've been invited to do, and I'm hoping we can just show up, do a fucking awesome-ass podcast for a crowd of people, discuss collecting, the real world of being a collector and what that can mean for the how to just be the best collector you can be. I don't know what the fuck we'll do, but there's opportunity for us to do something huge. I want us to seize the day. It's one of those things, like, we got like one major shot to do something huge for our 100th, and I want to just have that happen and then move on to 101. And then hopefully get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 800, 900, and maybe 1,000 episodes of Journey into Comics. God, that'd be a long time. That'd be like 20 years of podcasting. But I'd do it for every motherfucking one of you because I love podcasting. I love talking about nerdy shit. Who knows where we'll be in 20 years. I hope by the end of this year, by the way, that I end up in motherfucking LA. And that's something that could happen. Let's just see. So anyways, folks, My name's Nate. This is Journey into Comics. And I just
decoy wanted to... out.
Thanks, Nick, for interrupting me. The buttons just don't work how I like them to. I want them to, as soon as I press them, to play, and then they don't. So now we're gonna try that again. Okay, folks, I'll end.